مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى.
From this very earth we created you, and to the same earth we shall cause you to return, and from it we shall bring you forth to life again. From this very earth we created you, and to the same earth we shall cause you to return, and from it we shall bring you forth to life again. Inevitably, every human being has to pass through these three stages. The first stage extends from his birth to his death. The second is from his death to the last day. And the third is the last day and the resurrection and thereafter. According to the above verse, all these three stages relating to man will take place on earth.
وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى.
Indeed, we showed Pharaoh our signs, all of them, but he declared them to be false and rejected them. Indeed, we showed Pharaoh our signs, all of them, but he declared them to be false and rejected them.
God's signs mentioned here refer to those signs both in the natural phenomena and in men's lives, as well as to the miracles granted Moses, peace be upon him. The Quran also mentions several successive speeches made by Moses, peace be upon him, on different occasions in order to explain his message to Pharaoh, as it does the several miracles performed in succession and which Pharaoh was made to witness.
قال أجئتنا لتخرجنا من أرضنا بسحرك يا موسى.
He said, have you come to us to drive us out of our land by your sorcery? He said, have you come to us to drive us out of our land by your sorcery?
Sorcery here refers to the miracle of the rod and to Moses' shining hand, peace be upon him. Details of these miracles are mentioned in Al-Araf and Al-Shu'ara and refer to a miracle which Moses, peace be upon him, performed during his first meeting with Pharaoh when the latter's court was in full attendance. This particular miracle totally unnerved Pharaoh, a fact which can be gauged by his response. Have you come to drive us out of our land by your sorcery? Verse 57. Never before in the history of mankind, either before Moses' and Pharaoh's time or after it, was a magician able to establish his domination over a country by dint of his magic. In Pharaoh's own land, there were numerous magicians who went about demonstrating their magical feats and asking people for money in return. Hence, Pharaoh's statements that Moses, peace be upon him, was a magician and that he constituted a threat to Pharaoh's dominion only bespoke of his nervousness and bewilderment. The fact seems to be that Pharaoh was cognizant of Moses' persuasive and well-argued discourse as well as of his impressive miracles, peace be upon him. It would also appear that at this stage, Pharaoh had begun to seriously believe that both his courtiers and the common people of his realm were being favorably impressed by Moses, peace be upon him. He therefore had to resort to lies and fraudulent practices in an attempt to arouse his people's latent prejudices. He therefore argued that what Moses, peace be upon him, had demonstrated were simply magical feats rather than miracles, tricks which any magician of his realm could perform, transmuting a rod into a serpent. He also attempted to incite his people's anger against Moses, peace be upon him, by saying in effect, look, Moses brands your ancestors to be ill-guided, as those who deserve to be cast into hellfire. Beware of him. He is no prophet, but merely hungers for power. He merely wants the Israelites to be able to seize power from the Copts and rule over this country as in the time of Joseph. Peace be upon them. By resorting to such a stratagem, Pharaoh tried to undermine Moses' mission. Peace be upon him. At this point, it is also worth mentioning that the ruling classes throughout all times have maligned the votaries of truth, accusing them of hungering for power, misconstruing all their activities as being directed to that sole objective. For some relevant instances, see Al-Araf 7, 110 and 123, Yunus 10, 78, and Al-Mu'minun 23, 2.
فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ فَاجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا فَجَعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَا نُخْلِفُهُ نَحْنُ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانًا سُوًى.
Now we shall confront you with a sorcery like your own. So appoint a day when both of us might meet face to face in an open space, an appointment which neither we nor you shall fail to keep.
قال موعدكم يوم الزينة وأن يحشر الناس ضحى.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, "The appointment to meet you is on the day of the feast, and let all people come together before noon." Moses, peace be upon him, said, "The appointment to meet you is on the day of the feast, and let all people come together before noon."
Pharaoh believed that his magicians would be able to nullify the impression created in the minds of his people by Moses' miracles, peace be upon him. He therefore commanded his magicians to perform their wondrous feats, turning rods and ropes into serpents and the like. He fully believed that once such feats had been performed, Moses' miracles would lose all their effect. So when Pharaoh himself suggested an encounter between Moses and the magicians, peace be upon him, Moses was able to seize this opportunity to demonstrate the difference between sorcery and miracles. Hence, Moses, peace be upon him, readily agreed, further adding that instead of fixing a special time and place for that purpose, the festival that was about to take place be made use of, since it would attract people from all over the country. Moses, peace be upon him, preferred the encounter to take place before all those who were expected to attend the festival and during broad daylight, so that no ambiguity concerning the question in dispute would remain thereafter.
Pharaoh went back and concerted all his stratagem and returned for the encounter. Pharaoh went back and concerted all his stratagem and returned for the encounter.
Pharaoh and his courtiers considered this encounter to be of crucial importance. Messengers were sent to all parts of the country to summon all skilled magicians to the capital. Likewise, efforts were made to attract the maximum number of people in order that they might witness the magician's feats. It was hoped that the people's minds would thus be disabused of the favorable impression that had been formed of Moses, peace be upon him, on account of his miracles. Furthermore, Pharaoh and his supporters publicly claimed that the survival of their faith would depend on the performance of these magicians. If they were victorious, their faith would prevail. If not, Moses, peace be upon him, would triumph. See Al-Shu'ara 26:34-51. At this stage, one ought to recall that the religion of the Egyptian royalty and elites was perceptibly different from that adhered to by the general public. Their respective deities and temples were different, as were their rituals. Likewise, there was a considerable diversity in their beliefs regarding life after death, a question considered of great importance in Egypt. Moreover, as a result of earlier changes in Egyptian religious life, some sections of the local population had begun to prefer, or at least had developed, a susceptibility towards monotheistic as opposed to polytheistic doctrines. This is evident from the fact that the Israelites and their local co-religionists constituted at least 10% of the population. Moreover, barely 150 years previously, Amenophis, or Akhenaten, 1377 to 1360 BC, had brought about a religious revolution in Egypt. As a result of this revolution, only a single deity, Aton, was worshipped, whereas other deities were discarded. True, this revolution was subsequently reversed with the help of the same political power which had caused it. Nevertheless, the results of this revolution had some bearing on people's minds. If one bears these facts in mind, it is that much easier to understand the panic which had seized Pharaoh on this occasion.
قال لهم موسى ويلكم لا تفتروا على الله كذبا فيسحتكم بعذاب وقد خاب من افترى.
At the time of the encounter, Moses, peace be upon him, said to them, "Woe to you! Do not invent falsehoods against Allah, lest He destroy you with a scourge. Surely those who invent lies shall come to grief." At the time of the encounter, Moses, peace be upon him, said to them.
It is pertinent to recall that this was not addressed to the general public who had decided whether Moses performed miracles or magical feats. Instead, Moses said this in the course of his address to Pharaoh and his courtiers who had accused Moses of being no more than a magician.
Woe to you! Do not invent falsehoods against Allah.
The people concerned were asked not to fabricate a lie against God, to refrain from calling Moses' miracle a feat of magic, and from calling a true messenger of God a magician, one much given to lying. Peace be upon him. See Al-Qasas 28:4.
فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَأَسَرُّوا النَّجْوَى.
Thereupon, they wrangled among themselves about the matter and conferred in secret.
This shows that they had begun to feel weakened from within. They realized that what Moses had performed was not magic. Peace be upon him. Hence, they faced Moses in the encounter with considerable trepidation and reluctance, and when that encounter began, their resolve simply dissipated. The disagreement in Pharaoh's ranks to which the present verse refers possibly pertains to the time and venue of the encounter. They probably disagreed amongst themselves about whether the encounter should take place on the occasion of the great national festival and which would be attended by a large number of people from all parts of the land, and which would also take place in broad daylight, enabling all to witness it. Some people in Pharaoh's ranks seem to have been opposed to the idea, thinking that if they suffered a public defeat and people became aware of the difference between miracles and magic, then it would be extremely difficult to avoid a crushing defeat.
قَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ من أرضكم بسحرهما ويذهبا بطريقتكم المثلى.
Some of them said, "These two are magicians who want to drive you out of your land with their magic and to destroy your excellent way of life." Some of them said,
this statement in all probability was made by those extremist members of Pharaoh's court who were willing to go to any lengths in order to defeat Moses, peace be upon him. The zealous followers of Pharaoh thought it advisable to go vigorously ahead, give up all circumspection, and plunge into a direct encounter, come what may. Those who were mature, however, and had a better understanding of things were reluctant to proceed in a direction that would force them into a headlong confrontation with Moses, peace be upon him.
These two are magicians who want to drive you out of your land with their magic and to destroy your excellent way of life.
Their position rested on two points. First, if the magician succeeded in changing rods into serpents, this would impress upon the crowd that Moses, peace be upon him, was no more than a magician. Moreover, by fanning the fire of chauvinistic prejudice, they wanted to persuade the ruling classes that Moses' victory would mean the former's downfall and the extinction of their splendid way of life. They thus infused fear into the hearts and minds of influential members of the Egyptian society, advising that Moses' rise to power would sound the death knell of their own culture. Their arts, their attractive civilization, their varied entertainments, the unfettered freedom of their womenfolk, of which we find a conspicuous example in the story of the Prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, see Yusuf 12:3-32. In sum, all the essentials of a life in pursuit of pleasure would be destroyed. What would be left would be a life of cold and stark piety, a life so insufferable that it would be preferable for men of good taste to die rather than continue living.
فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ ثُمَّ أَتُوا صَفَّا وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى.
So muster all your stratagem and come forth in a row. Whoever prevails today shall triumph. So muster all your stratagem and come forth in a row.
The plan was to put up a united front against Moses, peace be upon him. For if during the encounter there was any sign of disagreement or reluctance, or if the magicians began to whisper amongst themselves, their awe would be lost and the onlookers would gain the impression that they were unsure about their abilities.
قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَ وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَلْقَىٰ.
The magician said, Moses, peace be upon him, will you throw down or shall we be the first to throw? The magician said,
The Quran omits details in that the magicians had been issued directives to take part in the contest against Moses. Peace be upon him.
قَالَ بَلْ أَلْقُوا فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى.
Moses replied, No, let it be you to throw first. Then suddenly it appeared to Moses, peace be upon him, owing to their magic, as if their ropes and staffs were running. Moses replied, No, let it be you to throw first. Then suddenly it appeared to Moses, peace be upon him, owing to their magic, as if their ropes and staffs were running.
According to Al-Araf, Moses said, You throw. So when they threw their rods, they, i.e. the magicians, enchanted the eyes of the people and struck them with awe. Al-Araf 7:116. The present verse makes it clear that the magician's sorcery had not only affected the general public, but also to a certain degree, even Moses, peace be upon him. It was not only his eyes which experienced the effects of their sorcery, but even his mind felt inclined to believe that these rods and ropes were serpents in a state of motion.
So Moses' heart was filled with fear, peace be upon him.
قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى.
We said to him, Have no fear, for it is you who will prevail. We said to him, Have no fear.
It would appear that no sooner had Moses, peace be upon him, said, Throw, the magicians instantly threw their rods and ropes towards him, momentarily making Moses, peace be upon him, feel as if hundreds of serpents were speeding towards him. There is nothing strange about the fact that such a spectacle would have momentarily stunned Moses, peace be upon him. For a human being remains a human being, even if he is also a prophet. It is further possible that Moses, peace be upon him, feared that the magician's feats were so similar to his own miracles that many people would indeed be led towards false beliefs. It is worth noting that the Quran here indicates that even prophets are vulnerable to magical effects, just like any other human being. Magicians do not have the power to deprive a messenger of God of his messengership, nor to interrupt the revelations made to him, nor to cause him to go astray. But it is nevertheless possible that magic might temporarily have some effect on the powers of a messenger. This refutes the position of those who, when they come across the traditions which mention that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was affected by magic, find the idea that a messenger of God can be affected by magic so outrageous that they not only reject the particular hadith in question, but also go so far as to deny the authenticity of the whole corpus of hadith.
وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى.
And throw down what is in your right hand. It will swallow up all that they have wrought. They have wrought only a magician's stratagem. A magician cannot come to any good, come whence he may. And throw down what is in your right hand. It will swallow up all that they have wrought.
It is possible that the miraculously created python swallowed all the rods and ropes which appeared in the form of serpents. However, the words used in the above verse and at other places in the Quran while relating this story seem to suggest that the miraculously created python did not actually swallow the serpents, but simply nullified the effect of the magic which had made the rods and ropes mistakenly appear to the onlookers as serpents. In the relevant verses, the actual words used in the Quran, see Al-A'raf 7:117 and Al-Shu'ara 26:45, are تَلْقَفُ مَا يَعْفِقُونَ, which means that it began to swallow up their false devices. In the present surah, the words are تَلْقَفَ مَا سَنَعُورَ, meaning it will swallow up all that they have wrought. Verse 69. Now the false devices which they had contrived did not consist of fake rods and serpents, but rather consisted of the magic which had made those objects look like serpents. We therefore believe that in whichever direction the python went, it swallowed up the rods and ropes, throwing them back in such a manner that everything reverted to its original form.
فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى.
Eventually, the magicians were impelled to fall down prostrate and said, "We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them."
When Pharaoh's magicians observed the miraculous impact of Moses' rod, peace be upon him, they were readily convinced that it was a genuine miracle and had nothing to do with magic. Instantly and involuntarily, they fell down in prostration as if someone had forcibly thrown them to the ground.
We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them.
Everyone present in the arena knew the purpose of the encounter. No one thought that it was a mere magical tournament between Moses and the magicians in order to establish who had the greater powers. For it was common knowledge that Moses, peace be upon him, presented himself as the messenger of God, the Lord, and the creator of the earth and the heavens, rather than as a magician. It was also widely known that Moses, peace be upon him, performed the miracle of his rod as proof of his claim to messengership rather than as an indication of his superior magical powers. Conversely, by publicly inviting the magicians to confront Moses, Pharaoh had wanted to prove that the transformation of a rod into a python was merely a magical trick by Moses rather than a miracle, peace be upon him. In other words, Pharaoh's magicians and all those present were fully aware of the distinction between miracles and sorcery. What was at stake, therefore, was whether Moses' performance was some form of sorcery or whether it was a miracle which could be shown only with God's special help. This explains why the magicians, once defeated, did not say, "We accept that Moses, peace be upon him, is much more skilled than we are." Rather, the incident persuaded them to affirm that Moses, peace be upon him, was a genuine messenger of God, the Lord of the universe, with the result that they exclaimed, "We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them." Verse 70. This enables us to gauge the tremendous impact this defeat of Pharaoh's magicians would have had on the general public and across the whole country. For Pharaoh had arranged for this tournament to take place at the largest festival in the land, in the hope that when people from all parts of the country would see for themselves that there was nothing unique in Moses' miracle, peace be upon him, that it was something which could be performed by any magician, it would irreparably damage Moses' claim and position. The tables were, however, turned when Pharaoh's own magicians affirmed in the presence of a huge crowd hailing from every corner of the empire that Moses, peace be upon him, did not perform any magical trick, that his performance was indeed a miracle which only a messenger of God could achieve.
قال آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر فلأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولأصلبنكم في جذوع النخل ولتعلمن أينا أشد عذابا وأبقى.
Pharaoh said, "What? Did you believe in him even before I permitted you to do so? Surely he must be your chief who taught you magic. Now I will certainly cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides, and will crucify you on the trunks of palm trees, and then you will come to know which of us can inflict sterner and more lasting torment." Pharaoh said, "What? Did you believe in him even before I permitted you to do so? Surely he must be your chief who taught you magic."
Surah Al-A'raf mentions that Pharaoh conceded the point. Furthermore, his statement, "This is a trick which you have planned in the city to drive out its rulers," Al-A'raf 7:123, elaborates upon Pharaoh's accusation that the magicians were guilty not only of hatching a conspiracy against him, but also that Moses, peace be upon him, was their chief. Pharaoh further accused the magicians that they had feigned defeat at the behest of their master. Moses, peace be upon him, that is, they had not been truly defeated. Pharaoh also contended that the whole thing had been pre-planned so that Moses' supremacy could be paraded as proof of his messengership, which in turn would lead to political upheaval in the land.
"Now I will certainly cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides."
This refers to the mode of punishment that their right foot and left hand be cut off, or vice versa.
"And will crucify you on the trunks of palm trees."
The ancient method of crucifixion or hanging was to either fix a long pole in the ground or to use the trunk of a tree for the same purpose. Another piece of wood would then be tied across it at the top. The culprit was then taken up and his hands nailed to the pole. In this manner, he was left hanging for hours to die a slow, painful death. The dead body of such a person was left in this state so that others might draw a lesson from his tragic end.
"And then you will come to know which of us can inflict sterner and more lasting torment."
Conscious that he was fighting a losing battle, Pharaoh resorted to this artifice. By threatening them with a dreadful punishment, he aimed to force his magicians to confess that they had acted in collusion with Moses, peace be upon him, and that they had hatched a conspiracy against the state. Nonetheless, their firm resolve and courage, now that they had embraced the truth, frustrated even this last desperate attempt by Pharaoh. The magician's readiness to face such a dreadful punishment convinced everyone that the charge of conspiracy leveled against them was little more than a political maneuver. Everyone was convinced that the magicians sincerely believed that Moses, peace be upon him, was truly a prophet.
قالوا لن نؤثرك على ما جاءنا من البينات والذي فطرنا فاقض ما أنت قاض إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا.
The magicians answered, "By him who has created us, we shall never prefer you to the truth after manifest signs have come to us. So decree whatever you will. Your decree will pertain at the most to the present life of the world." The magicians answered, "By him who has created us, we shall never prefer you to the truth after manifest signs have come to us."
This verse may also be translated as follows: "We shall never accord your precedence over the evident signs which have come to us, nor over him who brought us into existence."
Inna amanna bi rabbina liyaghfir lana khatayana wa ma akrahtana alayhi min as-sihr. Wallahu khayrun wa abqa.
We believe in our Lord that He may forgive us our sins and also forgive us the practice of magic to which you had compelled us. Allah alone is the best and He alone will abide.
Innahu man ya'ti rabbahu mujriman fa inna lahu jahannam la yamutu fiha wa la yahya.
The truth is that hell awaits him who comes to his Lord laden with sin. He shall neither die in it nor live. The truth is,
this remark is from God and supplements the magician's statement. The style of the sentence makes it quite evident that it could not have been made by the magicians.
Hell awaits him who comes to his Lord laden with sin. he shall neither die in it nor live.
Such a person will remain suspended between life and death. He will not meet his death, which would have ended his suffering and misery, nor will he experience the joy of living, which would have made him realize that life was preferable to death. He will be disgusted with life, but will remain unable to find the solace of death. He would very much like to die, but God will not oblige him. Of all the chastisements in hell detailed in the Quran, this is the most awesome.
وَمَن يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ.
But he who comes to him with faith and righteous works shall be exalted to high ranks.
جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى.
And shall live forever in everlasting gardens beneath which rivers flow. Such will be the reward of those who purify themselves.